This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today on Keeping the Faith about a youth literature festival coming up, and we have two guests with us today. We have the director of that festival, Beth Friedenberg, and we have one of the authors, a children's author, who's going to be at the festival, Alice McGinty. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Beth, let's start with you. Now, you've just been running this festival. This is your first year. Are you nervous?
A little bit, but I'm really excited. We have some fantastic authors, one sitting next to me. And we have 16 authors, actually, and they're going out to schools, and I think it's going to be fabulous.
How long has the Youth Lit Festival been going on?
This is the third time we've had it, so it started in 2008.
And who is the we that sponsors it and organizes it? And
The College of Education at the university is where it stems from, and the Center for Small Urban Education is where it's hosted. That's where I work, and we work together to make this happen.
Small Urban. Tell me about that.
The Center for Education in Small Urban Communities is basically the center where we have many different kinds of activities that we do related to helping the children in the community, all things related to education. So we have, for instance, programs, after school programs that we do. We have teacher collaborators that go out to the schools to help the teachers with their curriculum. We have arts programs, and we have the Youth Literature Festival.
Very good. And Alice, you're one of the featured people at this Youth Literature Festival. What will you be doing?
I go on Thursday and Friday of this week to schools. So I travel to Mahomet, to Gibson City, to Gifford, and go to preschools and elementary schools there and do presentations. I do assemblies. I get them excited about books and reading and writing and have a good time with the kids.
How old were you when you first got excited about books?
I started young. My family was a reading family, and so I was read to right from the start, and I was a pretty early reader, and I enjoyed doing it. So books have always been part of my life.
And now you write these books. When was your first book that you had written published?
In 1997, it was a nonfiction book about nutrition. So I started doing series of nonfiction books, and I kept writing them in groups of six. In the meantime, I kept writing fiction, sending it out, collecting rejections, and finally in 2002, my first fiction book was published.
So writers have to be very persistent in order to even have a chance to get published.
What I always tell children are that the published writers are the ones who didn't give up.
So let's see. You write these words. You send them off to a publisher. How long do you have to wait before you hear anything?
A long time. I have waited over a year before.
Wow.
Normally, we wait about 2 or 3 months before they get to it, get a chance to read it, and get back with us. But very often, it goes into 3, 4, 5 months.
And while you're waiting, do you still have the energy to keep writing, or do you just kind of put things on hold, waiting to see if anybody likes this thing you've produced?
Oh, I juggle projects, so no, I'd never be anywhere. I think if I just twiddled my thumbs while I was waiting for one. So I send it off, I try to forget about it, and I work on other things.
Beth, when we talk with Alice, as one of your 16 writers who are coming this week, they all come on Thursday and Friday, is it?
We'll have some Thursday and Friday, and then some just Friday. Okay. And then, again, they will be speaking to the community on Community Day at the I Hotel, which is from 10 to 3. And everybody's welcome to come out, and they'll all be doing presentations, and some of them will be giving panels related to different kinds of things about writing. And everybody's welcome to come and join us and listen to the presentations the authors are giving.
And which day is that?
That would be October 6th.
That's a Friday?
That is Saturday.
Ah, so it's a three-day event.
Yes, okay. So 2 days out in the schools for the authors, and then one day the community gets to come and listen to the authors speak.
So Saturday, October 6th, does it take any pre-registration or do you just show
no,
up?
No, just come on out. It starts at 10. It ends at 3. And pick the ones that you want to go to. There's a schedule up on our website, and you can go and look.
Tell us what your website
is. It is youthlitfest.education.illinois.edu.
And Youth Lit Fest is just all together as if it were one
yes,
word.
Exactly.
Youthlitfest.education.illinois.edu.
It's kind of long.
Okay, tell it to us again because
okay,
I was getting confused.
Youthlitfest.education.
All spelled out.
Yes. .illinois.edu.
Ah, that's where I got the edu later. Illinois.edu. Illinois.edu. All right. And that's to come to the public event October 6th, Saturday from 10 to 3 at the I Hotel in, which side of campus is the I Hotel?
It's really close to Assembly Hall.
Just south of the Assembly Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. Well, that's for the public. And then the authors will be out in the schools Friday or Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So those aren't things for the public except in the sense that you're going to the public.
Absolutely. To the schools, yes.
How many different schools?
Well, 56.
Wow.
56 schools and libraries. So.
Now, who pays for all this? Where did the money come from to do this? It's through the Education Department of the University, College of Education.
Yes, and they definitely help, but we also have fantastic sponsors, community sponsors that help as well.
Do you have a list?
I don't have it with me, so I don't want to say anything to miss anybody, but I appreciate everybody who's sponsored.
And who finds these sponsors?
Well, it's kind of a collaboration of the Advancement Office in the Education Department and me.
So you've been calling people for a year or so.
Yes.
How are the authors selected to participate in the Youth Lit Festival?
What we're looking for is a large range. We're looking for a large age range to be able to get out the authors to the schools, pre-K all the way up through high school.
Ah.
We're also looking for different genres so that the kids who are interested in specific kinds of reading are able to be able to see many different kinds of authors.
Alice, how many books have you written over your professional writing career that have been published?
I have 41 published books and 2 more in the pipes to be coming out the next couple of years.
Now, you mentioned that some of your books are in a series about, for example, science.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what some of those are like.
Sure. So I have a series on healthy living. It's called The Library of Healthy Living. And so I've got a book on nutrition, one on personal safety, a book on dental care, hygiene, and exercise. Those are all part of that series. And so each book explores in 10 chapters, very short chapters. Each chapter is only about a page long, that particular topic.
Now, which age group are these aimed for?
They're at about a third grade reading level.
Okay.
So kindergarten through fourth grade.
Huh. And that's one series. Tell us about another.
If you like spiders, I've got a wonderful series on spiders, including tarantula, black widow, orb weavers, jumping spiders, crab spiders. I have another series on dogs who help people, and that includes guide dogs, sheep herding dogs, detector dogs, police dogs. Uh-huh. I have a series on author biographies.
Before you leave the dog series, I have a dog that helps me just by making me much more cheerful.
Yes, I understand. They're good at that.
Go on. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Oh, no problem. I wanted to combine my fiction life with my nonfiction life. I had been writing fiction and also nonfiction, and I felt they were worlds apart. And so I got the idea to write biographies of children's book authors. And so I've got a series of biographies out, and they're about Jerry Spinelli, Gail Carson Levine, and some other well-known children's book authors. And that allowed me to combine my nonfiction and fiction self. I could study their work and then also write nonfiction or biography.
I want to get back to some of the things you've written, but let me take this moment to invite listeners to join this conversation. We're always eager on Keeping the Faith to have people call in and ask questions or make comments. You may do that if it's a local call near Champaign-Urbana in the 217 area code. Just punch in 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. If it's a long-distance call, we can help you by giving you an 800 number, 1-800-222-9455. And, of course, this program, all WILL programs, is also heard live. You can hear it live on the online. And so perhaps you're listening at will.illinois.edu/AM. And if so, you also could use that 800 number, 222-9455. Let's get back to Beth for a minute. How did you get into all of this work? Where did you come from?
Where did I come from? Wow. The very short version is I grew up in Wyoming, in Sheridan, Wyoming, and then I went to Oklahoma, which is where I did my undergrad in elementary education, and really fell in love with the idea of helping children read and learning much, much more about children's literature.
Which school in Oklahoma?
That would be the University of Oklahoma.
Which is located?
Which is located in Norman. Go Sooners.
Oops, sorry you said that. I don't think Illinois has to play.
No, they're not in the same conference.
Okay.
No. I love Illinois as well.
Then how did you get from Oklahoma to Illinois?
Well, we came here. My husband is working on his PhD. And then I decided that with the fantastic program they have in education here, I wanted to go back and get my master's degree. And with my love of children's literature, I decided to concentrate strictly on that and diversity in children's literature specifically. And that's pretty much what I've studied since then. I also have my library science degree.
Did you get that from here as well? Yes.
We have a great program here. And so those two things combined just really helped me, you know, with the passion for children's literature. And that's what landed me this particular job.
Now, have you finished both of those master's degrees?
I have, yes, yes. Okay. And in fact, the other thing that I do is as a librarian in Mahomet. So children's youth services librarian in Mahomet. So...
You just do that on the side.
I do, on the side, yeah. But I really, really enjoy working on this particular project and being able to help community and, you know, help them find books that they may not be able to find themselves. So
and what
it's great.
What is your husband's PhD study in?
20th century American literature is what he's working on.
Ah, so you have a literature connection there.
Yes, yes.
Where did you meet your husband?
Actually, we met in Wyoming. So, yeah, we went to high school together but did not date. But then he went to Oklahoma, and I decided I really wanted to be there as well. They had a really good school, and then the rest is history. So,
very good. And when did you come to this community, Champaign-Urbana?
So we have been here for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been the children's librarian at the Muhammad Library?
Since April.
Oh, just very recently.
Yes.
We're talking with the children's book author, Alice McGinty. Alice, spell your last name for our listeners.
Sure, it's McGinty.
And they can find your books any place books are sold, locally, long distance, online, or from you. You have a website?
I do have a website. It's www.alicebmcginty.com.
AliceBMcginty.com, McGinty.com, where you can find some of her many books. I've asked Alice to bring one of her books that I'm familiar with. I have a daughter who's a first grade teacher in Savannah, Georgia, and when I read this book of Alice's earlier this year, I thought it was perfect for her, one of her classes. She has a class with students of many different levels of ability and come from many different backgrounds. And it's called, tell us about the book, Alice.
It's called Thank You, World.
Thank You, World.
And it was inspired very close to here at Crystal Lake Pool in Urbana. I took my two sons there on a hot summer day many years ago now. I'm going to say about 15 years ago, and it was just such a hot day that we were sitting at the snack bar sweating, and a cool breeze blew by, and it felt so good that I said to myself, "Thank you, breeze." And I've always been one to play with words, and I liked how that sounded. Thank you, breeze. And so I started asking myself, what else would I say thank you to? And I made a list, and I made a poem, and eventually that became a manuscript. It was rejected by I can't tell you how many publishers. One editor who I'd met at a conference liked it, rejected it, gave me really good feedback, didn't like the beginning, wanted me to change the first half, make it more active. I tried. I failed. I put it in a drawer for over a year, which is what I do with some manuscripts when I'm frustrated with them. And then I went back through the drawer over a year later. I took it out, and I kind of liked what I saw. So I fixed it up, sent it to my editor, who had by then picked up another one of my books, and she took it.
And you brought that book with you. I'm going to ask you to pull it out, and we'll have you do a little reading here.
Oh, terrific.
So,
I will.
So you get that book ready while I ask Beth a little bit more about the other six 15 authors. Who are some
okay.
of the authors who are coming?
Okay, so we have Blue Balliot, who wrote Chasing Vermeer. Nick Bishop, who does a lot of nature series. He's a fantastic photographer. Joseph Bruchock, who has books pre-K all the way up through 12th grade. Candace Fleming, Janice Harrington, who's local author. Dan Ketting, who's a fantastic storyteller. Pat Mora, Beth Finke, Greg Neary.
I know Beth. She's a woman who would appreciate your book, Alice, on dogs that help
yes.
you. She's blind.
And, yes. I know Beth, too, yes.
Right, and she's written a couple books.
Yes, she has,
two
yes.
Two or three, I think,
yes,
by now.
Safe and Sound, uh-huh. Yes, right. About her dog, Annie, yes.
Right.
Bill Odenkirk, who's actually written for The Simpsons and Futurama. Nnedi Okorafor, April Polisayer, Natasha Tarpley, Hillary Wagner, and Jennifer Ward.
Those are some of the authors coming this very weekend to Champaign-Urbana, to the University of Illinois, sponsored by the College of Education, to the Youth Literature Festival. That's the, 4th, 5th, and 6th of October, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday, there will be a public event at the I Hotel in Champaign, Illinois, from 10 to 3. It's free and open to the public, no registration required. Several, many of these authors will be there offering different kinds of events. So we'll talk about it in a few minutes. But Alice, I see you have your book one of your 41 books in front of you, and this is a large format picture book, and it's not fair for our readers not to be able to see these wonderful 8 pictures drawn so well in such interesting colors when you open a double page. But tell us what's on those pictures that sort of is part of the theme of this book.
I will, and I'll tell you that this was actually the illustrator's idea. I sent in a poem called Thank You, and Wendy Anderson Halperin, who's the illustrator, and she does her work with pencil and Crayola crayons, actually. She said she was tired of illustrating books that looked like they all came from her backyard. So she wanted to do something that opened up into the world. And so it was her idea to set this book in 8 different countries all around the world. So each spread has pictures from the United States, from Mexico, Bolivia, China, Saudi Arabia, India, France, all over the world. And she's got basically 8 different stories of children around the world going through their days in different ways.
And so in each of these 8 drawings on a double page, she's illustrating in 8 different cultures, countries, what you're talking about in just a few simple words that children can understand.
Exactly.
Give us some of the words.
Shall I read it to you?
Sure.
Okay. It doesn't take long. It's easier to read it than it is to explain it.
It takes a long time to enjoy all the pictures going through it with a child.
It does. Yeah. It does. And I won't make you do the hand motions, but I will tell you when I go to schools, we do hand motions to express some of the words. So
All right. We
don't just read it together. We act it out.
We'll ask our listeners to use their imagination.
That's right. Thank you, son, for waking up the morning and coloring the sky. Thank you, sky, for shining blue that calls me to touch you, swinging high. Thank you, swing, you shoot me like a rocket past birds and grass and trees. Thank you, grass, for softening my footsteps. I'm dancing with the breeze. Thank you, breeze, for lifting up my kite wings past treetops, tall and proud. Thank you, trees. Your branches are my playhouse. I'm climbing to the clouds. Thank you, clouds, for painting cotton pictures and sending cool, sweet rain. Thank you, rain, for watering my flowers and washing my window pane. Thank you, window, you welcome in the moonlight that yawns from starry skies. Thank you, stars, for sparkling so brightly, you shine like mommy's eyes. Thank you, mommy, for tucking in my tiptoes and kissing me goodnight. And thank you, nighttime, your soft gray shadows will touch my dreams tonight.
From the book Thank You, World, written by Alice McGinty and published by?
Dial Books.
Dial Books, D-A-I-L, D-I-A-L.
D-I-A-L.
And thank you, gratitude, one of the basic concepts in world spirituality, of course. And here is a multicultural book for some of the youngest readers or even listeners, children old enough to look at pictures, who like to sit on mommy or daddy's lap and hear them read, see pictures together. Alice McGinty, thank you for that reading. Let me give the phone numbers again. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. And we are also always eager to have listeners make a comment or ask a question. Here's a chance to talk to a working children's author and someone who's a children's librarian and head of the Youth Literature Festival that's coming up this weekend, October 4, 5, and 6. The number's 333-9455. If it's in the 217 area code, if it's long distance, punch in 1-800-222-9455. 1-800-273-8255. Let's talk a little bit about what the offerings are at the Saturday event at the iHotel this coming October 6th. Beth?
Okay. The schedule for Community Day, we have many different authors giving a presentation, a highlight presentation is what we call them. And then we also have some different panels. For instance, April Pulley Sayer, Candace Fleming, and Nick Bishop are doing a panel called Just the Facts, Nonfiction Informational Books Panel. And Greg Neary, who is a fantastic, fantastic author who has done some graphic novels, is also going to give a what we call the conversation about getting reluctant readers to read. This could be for parents, for anybody who's interested in helping a child learn to read, or helping a reluctant reader be able to find interest in reading. We also have Alice McGinty and Dr. Violet Harris are going to give a presentation on getting published, two different perspectives on getting children's books published.
You mentioned a couple of terms that not everyone might know. Tell us what a graphic novel is.
Okay, so a graphic novel is, in essence, just a book with pictures, cartoons, for example, a little bit different than an illustrated book, usually in small panels on one page.
I recently read a book written by an architect about his own firm's architecture around the world in graphic form.
Oh, there's many of those.
Fascinating.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It's the first one I'd seen done by an architect.
It's a fantastic way to get kids who are reluctant to read to be able to read because they're able to see the pictures, especially older readers. There's not a whole lot of text, but there's definitely some text that they can read, and then the pictures help them to make sense of the words that are on the page.
It's more like a comic book.
Yes,
and I think
exactly.
They like that.
Exactly.
I'll reveal something about me and my family. I have a brother who's written a book for reluctant readers. A publisher approached him. He was a school librarian and approached him when he was on the Best Books committee to write something for boys, particularly who are reluctant readers in the upper grades. He wrote a book on skateboarding street style.
Oh, wow.
Whether parents and other people in the community are happy, he encouraged young boys to learn how to do that even better. I don't know, but it was an interesting project.
I bet they love reading about it.
Oh, I'm sure. That sounds like they would tap right into their interests. That's what
indeed.
We want.
That's my brother, Joel Shoemaker. He has since retired, and but he had many good years as a school librarian and enjoyed that very much. We're about halfway through our Keeping the Faith program this afternoon. We're talking with Alice B. McGinty, who is a children's book author. Her website, where you can find more information about her books, is Alice B. McGinty, MCGINTY.com. And also we're talking with Beth Friedenberg, who is the director of the Children's Literature Festival here at the University of Illinois coming up this weekend, and also the youth librarian at the Mahomet Public Library in Illinois. Let me take just a minute to mention a few things coming up at the University YMCA. The Y is a longtime supporter of Keeping the Faith. Their Friday Forum programs this fall are particularly vibrant. They've had almost standing room only crowds for the first two or three weeks. Coming up October 5th, this coming Friday at noon, Barbara Franklin, who's president of the Illinois Alliance for Retired Americans, will be talking about preserving Social Security and Medicare, a very hot topic. This is part of the whole Friday Forum series at the University Y, Beyond the Rhetoric of the Campaigns, looking more deeply into some of the issues. That's this October 5, Barbara Franklin. That's at the University Y, which is at the corner of Wright and Chalmers, right across from Lincoln Hall at the University of Illinois. These are free lectures at noontime. You can buy some food at the Y Eatery there, good Thai food, or bring your own lunch, or simply go and listen to the lectures and ask questions afterwards. Also at the Y this semester are many programs for international students. Do go to the Y website to learn about the Global Lens Films, Wednesdays at 7 during the fall semester, the various coffee hours where people from different cultures will be there discussing what their life is like. Art at the Y has different events throughout the semester, free cultural performance things. Those are all coming up at the University Y this fall semester 2012. Let me mention another event that's related to books, actually, coming up this weekend. Pages for Pennies, the fall book sale of the program Books for Prisoners, which sends books free to the prison libraries, if they have libraries. Not all prisons have librarians, but they send books as requested by prisoners free. And one of the ways they raise money to send those books is by having a book sale of books that that they're given, that have been donated. That's October 5, 6, and 7. That's coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday from 4 to 8, Saturday from 8 in the morning till 5 at night, Sunday from 12 to 4. You can still get home in time to listen to Keeping the Faith. And that's at the Independent Media Center in Urbana, just right next to Lincoln Square. So that's Books for Prisoners, book sale at the Independent Media Center, right next to the downtown, actually in part of what was the downtown Urbana Post Office. That's October 5, 6, and 7. Hours again, Friday 4 to 8, Saturday 8 to 5, Sunday 12 to 4. Some great bargains. Pages for Pennies. Well, let's get back to our guest today. We're talking about the Youth Literature Festival. How many people come to these public events in the past? I know you weren't director then, but have you heard?
I can only speak to about how many children we've serviced before. And from the accounts that we've had, it's around 5,000. So I'm not sure if that counts community days or okay. not, but many, many people. So
it's quite popular?
Yes.
So you fill up that hotel conference center pretty well.
I think we will, yes.
Very
That's
good.
What I'm hoping for.
Alice, have you done this before?
I have. This is my third one, I believe.
You're quite experienced. Tell us what it's been like for those public events.
Oh, I enjoy the public events. You never know who's going to show up, and you get a group that consists of mostly families with, I usually get the younger children because that's whom I write for, and we have a good time together. I talk with them about being an author. I talk with them about the books, and then we act out Thank You World. We sing my book, Ten Little Lambs, and they participate, and they put on lamb's ears, and they help sing and count. And I bring my guinea pig, Cookie. She's always a big hit, and she's the star of one of my books. So it's very interactive. It's very participatory. And we just go out there and enjoy books and reading and writing and the whole process.
And can listeners bring books that they've purchased of yours for you to autograph?
Yes, I believe that there is a bookstore there, so
as
it's
well.
It's possible okay. to purchase books by the authors there,
at
and
the
then
conference center.
The authors okay. will sign
at the
those
iHotel.
Books.
Great. And the authors don't mind having people say, please sign my book?
Oh, my goodness. It's one of the big thrills of our lives.
Well, and listeners may know that if an author signs a book, it increases its value.
Right.
Who knows? Children's books, you know, often get beat up, but one that's preserved and been signed by author, and who knows, in a century, maybe worth a lot.
And I've always enjoyed going to schools and seeing copies of my books that are beat up, because then I know that they're reading it.
We have a listener who's asked a question off the air, and I have it here on my computer from our good technical director. The question is, what are your thoughts about self-publishing through things like Lulu.com or Amazon?
Sure, and it's becoming more and more popular, and I think it's a nice option for people. As a matter of fact, I have a self-published book. I have a book about Champaign-Urbana history that I published myself. There are a lot of different options with publishing. I think that each option has advantages and disadvantages. Self-publishing, an advantage is that you can get a book out there in
sure.
your own time frame.
But you have to put money up front to get it published.
You have to put up money, and you have to be willing to market it, because it's absolutely your responsibility to get the word out about that book.
So let's hear you do that on the air. Okay, you have this book about Champaign-Urbana history. Why should anyone pay money to buy it?
Oh, well, thank you. I'll let you know. It's written at about a third grade level, and it's being used in most of the schools around Champaign and Urbana. The book covers the history of Champaign-Urbana all the way from the beginning of time through current day. And it's a great summary and account of all the things that have happened in our towns. I was fascinated by all the fantastic, interesting stories that I read doing my research for the book. So I tried to put all those wonderful stories in the book as I wrote it.
Is it illustrated?
With pictures.
Pictures,
yeah.
Photographs.
I got photographs from the Urbana archives and put lots of them in the book.
Let me give the phone numbers again. If other listeners who want to have a question, want to call in, if you want to be on the air, just call 217-333-9455. If you're in that area code, it's a toll-free call. If you're outside the 217 area, punch in 222, 1-800-222-9455. Let's talk a little bit about how you write at a third grade level. What does that mean?
Sure. And I'll tell you, I'm not one to use prescribed vocabulary lists.
Those do exist. They can be found online.
They definitely exist.
Sure.
I picture kids who are around that age, who I know, and I start the process by just thinking about how I would explain something to those children that I know. And sometimes when I write, depending on the projects, I will do a readability check. So I'll run the manuscript through a readability level checker, and there are some of those online.
Free?
Yeah, free. There's a Fleisch Kincaid that's on your Word program, Microsoft Word, and there are plenty of other readability level checkers online also. So I like to use those to give me an idea. And then the way you adjust the reading level, it's not just vocabulary. It's also sentence length and sentence complexity and a lot of different
things. And
content,
of course.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Now, what do you do, Beth Vredenberg, as a children's librarian? How do you select what books to bring into your library for your Muhammad kids to read?
Well, there's kind of a – I like to make sure that I hit all kinds of genres. But when I'm looking specifically, if I have, say, a patron request, I kind of like to get what their interests are. As I'm not sure what their reading levels are, I can sort of guess. Usually that's not information that I have, so I just sort of have to, you know, possibly ask what grade level and then maybe go from there. What I'm looking for is a variety of things, nonfiction, fiction, to be able to show them and then have them pick what they think they're most interested in. And in that sense, when I'm looking to buy books for the library, I'm looking for a very wide spectrum of things. You know, and having taught first and third grade, I also know that there's a huge range. Kids have a huge range of reading levels, you know, just in one grade level. So I'm looking for many, many different kinds of books of, you know, however many words there are on a page, something that maybe a third grader would be interested in, but possibly at a lower reading level. So it kind of ranges. So
at your library, what's the range that you are concerned with?
My job description is actually youth services librarian. So I work with kids 0 to 18.
Wow.
So it's a long, list. So I do everything from board books to adult books.
And how do you deal, to bring up a controversial subject, with books that some people object to even being in the library?
Basically, I decide what I think, our readers might want to be reading. And there's a prescribed way of going about figuring out what I want to have at the library. And my particular position is just, freedom of being able to read. So I put those books out there, be it controversial or not, depending on, what book it is, talk with my director. And then if somebody has an issue, we have a way of being able to talk to them and they can put in a request to take the book off. And then we have a, a way of being able to go through that a process.
Alice, I ask you to read the Thank You World because it, of course, fits with some of the issues we've discussed often on this program over the last 13 years of values and ethics and spirituality. Out of your 41 published books and two more on the way, are there other books that you've written sort of consciously aware of the whole spiritual dimension of reality?
Wow, what a question. None of my books are so directly spiritual, I would say, as Thank You World. Though I will tell you that one of the books I've got in the pipeline right now, it's due out in spring 2013, is a picture book biography of Gandhi. So, of course, there's so much there with his life and his mission that are very, very spiritual. And so I learned a lot doing the research for that book, and I really tried to get that spirit of his faith and his drive into the book when I wrote it.
And, of course, with one of his grandsons here on the U of I faculty, that certainly has will be of tremendous interest locally.
Yes, and he helped as a subject matter expert for the book, actually.
Oh, you interviewed him?
Yes.
Well, he's such a gracious man, and
yes,
his own book on his grandfather recently I have, and it's quite a story. Let me give the phone numbers again. We're down to our last, 10 minutes or so, but we're happy to have callers with comments or questions. 333-9455 and 217 area code. Elsewhere, if it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455. And I might take just a minute to mention some of the programs that are coming up here on Keeping the Faith. And, of course, former programs are available for the last several years on the archives that can be found at will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith. You can find those archive programs there to listen at your convenience on various devices, computers, smartphones, all sorts of things. Coming up on Keeping the Faith next week, we're going to be doing the second part of our little mini-series on the Amish. Last week, if you missed that, it was a very good program where we talked with Danny Otto about changes in Amish life brought on by technology, brought on by their success financially in many cases. That's available on the archive program if you'd like to hear that. That was from September 23rd. Coming up next week, October 7, is Danny Otto's brother, Wilmer. And Wilmer is also on the board of the Amish Interpretive Center in Arcola, Illinois. And he was born into an Amish family and is now a Mennonite. He'll be talking about the Amish in relation to the U.S. government, a very interesting topic, particularly with cases that have gone all the way to the Supreme Court about whether the Amish should have the right to have their own schools and run by their own religious values and standards. So that's next week, October 7, on Keeping the Faith. October 14, we'll be talking about the spirit of music with a professor of music from the Eastern Illinois University, Susan Teichler. That'll be this coming in 2 weeks, October 14. Susan Teichler is a Juilliard graduate in piano. She's a concert pianist herself. She'll be bringing some of her music that's available on CD and talking about the spirit of music, the spirituality of music. That's the 14th. Later in October, we'll be learning about Tagore on spirituality with Professor Anil Burra. That'll be on the 28th. Mark Johnson, who is the National Executive Director of FOR, we'll be talking about current books that you should read. That'll be in November. And we'll be talking about serving an interracial church with Reverend Wallace Boober on November 18. Some of the programs coming up ahead on Keeping the Faith. I see we have a caller waiting to speak with our guest today about books for kids. Line number one. Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, I'm a long-time early childhood and elementary educator, and I would like to hear your guests respond to the crisis we're having with children choosing electronic media instead of books.
Choosing electronic media?
Yes, instead of reading books.
Instead of reading books. Comments? Yes.
Well, I'll go first. The festival is one way we can get these books out to the kids. We can be able to help them find their interests. I'm a big proponent of making sure that, you know, they can see that there are many, many, many types of traditional literature that are available to them beyond ebooks and different kinds of media. So.
Right. Well, I know that you can do that, and I can do that, but really something disturbing going on with the amount of choices that children make to use the electronic media, no matter what you would suggest. And have you found, or are there any studies that show that this is becoming a problem for our youth?
I know that there are some parents who limit their children's screen time, as they often call it, whether it's playing video games or watching television or watching movies on various devices, to so many hours a week or so many hours a day. And I know many who still, of course, read to their children and suggest books to their children. So I know parents are trying to respond that way, but you ask about particular studies that show that this is a problem. Do either of you know?
Right, because this is, you know, this is, yes, I know parents who read to their children. We all do that, and we know parents who limit screen time. But still, it's kind of scary that there's so many children who are choosing more media than electronic media than reading books. Okay, so we can say if they read a media book or an e-book, that's fine, but it's the problem of children not reading that concerns me.
I agree. It's definitely out there, and I just hope that all of us as adults, and by adults I mean educators, I mean parents, I mean anyone who interacts with children, to just show them the joy of sitting down and reading a book and trying to do what Bethany is doing as a librarian, which is to match that book with that child as much as possible.
Right. No, those are good ideas. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your call. I'm informed by our engineer that there was a video that was being shown today of a toddler attempting to touch a magazine as if it were an iPad and being flummoxed as to how to interact with this magazine. There needed to be a parent nearby there pointing things out, like words, and doing a little teaching, I think. Well, we're talking today with the author Alice McGinty, who has published 41 books for children and youth, nonfiction and fiction in her career. She'll be one of the speakers Saturday, October 6th at the public event for the Children's Youth Festival at the I Hotel in Champaign, Illinois from 10 to 3. Open to the public. You can bring your kids, bring a book, or buy a book there to have some of the 16 authors who are part of this festival autograph them if you like. To buy books by Alice B. McGinty, go to that website, alicebmcginty.com. To find out more information about the book festival, Beth, where can they find information about the programs that are coming up this Saturday, October 6th?
So they can go to youthlitfest.education.illinois.edu. And there they'll be able to find a picture of all the authors. If you click on the picture, you'll get a biography, and you'll be able to get to their website and see all of the books that they have published and get a little more information about each one.
And that's at youthlitfest.education.illinois.edu.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Now, these schools, these 56 schools that these various authors are going to be going to on Thursday and Friday, what will happen when they get there?
The authors will be doing different kinds of things. Some will be doing readings of their books. Some will be doing presentations of things such as Nick Bishop. He does lots of photography for his books. And so he'll be showing a lot of the kinds of ways in which he puts photography in his books to show kids how to be able to do those kinds of things. So it's author specific, but for the most part, they're going to be able to hear a presentation by an author and be able to do a Q&A with an author, a real live author. And sometimes some of these kids haven't ever had that interaction. So I think it will be really good.
How can parents who are listening prepare their children to ask good questions of that author? What can they do to help ask kids questions? Alice, so you've had some good questions asked in your years showing up at schools. What are some you remember that were particularly interesting?
Sure. And I would say by far the most important thing that any child could do before hearing an author speak is to read the books.
Sure.
At least one of the author's books, because that's the connection. Yeah. Otherwise, they could be just someone off the street, and it wouldn't matter. But if the author and the child have that book in common, then there's magic that happens there because we can talk about the book. As far as questions go, well, they always ask me which is the favorite book which I've written, which is hard because they're all like my children.
Sure.
But one of them asked me my shoe size. They usually ask me if I'm rich and if I'm famous. I get a lot of fantastic questions. I really do. And I always save time in presentations for that question answer.
I was reading some children's poems that I'd written at one of the local grade schools once. And one of the children looked at me, since I'm very tall, and said, you're so tall, you must be very, very old. Because they do. Mm-hmm. Every year, you get a year older, you get taller.
Yes.
So here's this giant that must, boy, ancient.
And I always get them asking me how old I am.
Sure.
So I make them work for the answer. I tell them when I started writing and how many years I've been writing, and they have to do the math.
That always helps. And I make them guess how tall I am, and I usually make them work at that, too, with a little math issue. What about when kids get home after having met an author? What might parents ask the child?
That's a good question.
Well, I'm a professional.
Yes, you ask very good questions. What would a parent ask a child after they've seen an author? I would ask a lot of open-ended questions of them. What did the author talk about? What did you enjoy? Did you learn something new? Tell me about this author and the books they've written. Maybe even how did the author talk about their books. What kind of things did they do in the presentation to get too excited about reading? Some open-ended questions that will get the child thinking a little bit about the presentation.
Beth, what haven't I asked you about the Youth Literature Festival that I should have?
Well, I didn't actually mention we also have a couple of other things going on that kids will definitely enjoy. There will be some puppet shows by the Puppet Guild, the Illinois Puppet Guild, and I think they'll be fantastic. There's also going to be some activity tables, so they'll be able to do some hands-on kinds of things, including making puppets, which I think will be lots of fun. And then there'll also be a screening for Daniel Tiger. So for the very little ones, they might be familiar with Daniel Tiger from Will. They can come and see a screening of the show.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
That's this Saturday, October 6th, from 10 to 3 at the I Hotel. No registration, pre-registration required to listen to some of these 16 authors, plus the extra events just mentioned by Beth Friedenberg, director of the festival this year. You can also go to youthlitfest.education.illinois.edu to be able to learn more about the authors and their books. Is there a phone number people can call who don't have access to the web?
Yes, they could call me directly, which is 217-300-3166. Or they can call the center, and that number is 217-333-4687, and we'll be able to give them any information that they would request.
Let me repeat those numbers. The center is at 217-333-4687. And to talk to Beth Friedenberg directly, you may punch in 217-300-3166. And Alice, for people who can't get to your website, alicebbeginning.com, is there a phone number they could call?
Absolutely. It's 217-621-1465. And I'll mention also that I'm a regional advisor or head of the Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, so there are a lot of programs that we have for anyone who's interested in learning how to write children's books.
Well, let me thank you both for being on Keeping the Faith and talking about children's books and the Youth Lit Festival and for reading from your good book on Thank You World. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Let me remind listeners there's a wonderful fall book sale also coming up this weekend. You can go Friday, Saturday, or Sunday to the Pages for Pennies, put on by Books for Prisoners. It's at the Independent Media Center, located right next to the Urbana Post Office. And that's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 5 to 7. Friday, open 4 to 8. Saturday, 8 to 5. Sunday, from 12 to 4. Coming up on Keeping the Faith, next week, we'll be talking with Wilmer Otto about the Amish and the U.S. government. Coming up the 14th, The Spirit of Music with Eastern Illinois University music professor Susan Tyker, herself a concert pianist. That's Keeping the Faith the next couple weeks. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and Religion, Rethinking Animal Intelligence, Maybe How Memory Works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580. This is Illinois Public.